This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Stacey Lynn in Washington. Where the Hostages and Missing Families Forum held a march calling for Hamas to release the hostages. Today marks 6 months since the war began, and Israel announced it's pulled most of its ground troops out of the Gaza Strip, but says the war is not over. CBS's Holly Williams is in Tel Aviv.
My colleague, CBS News producer Marwan Al-Ghul, is in southern Gaza, and he says it is now possible to move freely from southern Gaza all the way up to central Gaza, and that has not been possible for the past 3 months.
I'm Peter King. With humanitarian aid slowed to a crawl and the deaths of seven World Central Kitchen workers last week, members of Congress are asking whether or not unconditional aid to Israel is still a good idea. National Security spokesman John Kirby on CBS's Face the Nation.
The president was clear with the prime minister. If there's not changes, if things don't get better, then we're going to have to make changes of our own.
Kirby says communication between aid workers and the Israeli military simply has to improve.
The head of the U.S. Atomic Watchdog Agency condemned a drone strike on a Russian nuclear power plant in Ukraine. Grant Ferret is with the BBC.
Zaporizhia is close to the front line of the fighting and was a focus of concern early in the war. But Rafael Grossi said this was the worst such incident in nearly 18 months. He said no one could possibly benefit from attacks on nuclear facilities.
It's been almost 2 weeks since the collapse of the Francis Scott Key Bridge in Baltimore. Maryland Governor Wes Moore says they hope to have the port back open by the end of May.
It's realistic. And I think that it's going to take something that's going to be a 24/7 operation, which
to
has
have
been
full functioning.
More on Face the Nation. President Biden has vowed to use federal dollars to rebuild the bridge. Got your special glasses ready for the eclipse tomorrow? The path of totality rolls through central Texas, and astronomy professor Heather Appleby says even though it may be cloudy.
In Texas, we're the first major area that's going to be able to see something. It won't be ideal, but we'll get to see it.
The NCAA Women's Championship game is in the fourth quarter now, with South Carolina leading over Iowa. But both teams have been really good for local businesses. This woman manages a bar in Clive, Iowa.
I think with Caitlin and her being in it now and making such an impact, we have gotten such a bigger crowd.
Now, looks like we're 4 minutes and 13 seconds into the fourth quarter. South Carolina is leading Iowa 80-75. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
James here, host of Unlabeled, your 90s mixtape, every Sunday from 8 to 9 on WFHR. It's your weekly dose of music, nostalgia, and pop culture exclusively on locally grown radio.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Conservationists are split on President Biden's efforts to strengthen the Endangered Species Act. Mike Moen explains.
Environmental and conservation groups voiced strong opposition to the 2019 changes carried out by the Trump administration, arguing they gutted core elements of the longstanding law. Last week, Biden's staff announced it's reinstating blanket protections for threatened species, and language dealing with economic interests was removed. Susan Holmes with the Endangered Species Coalition says further action is needed.
The regulation repairs some of the holes, but still leaves some big holes in that safety net.
A change not being reversed is a rollback concerning critical habitat, and Holmes says that poses challenges for migratory species. She points to the comeback of the whooping crane as progress that could be derailed. Republican leaders are critical of the new revisions, saying crucial reforms are being tossed aside. Various industries have long called for looser regulations under the law, and if Trump wins the 2024 race for the White House, it's expected they'll make a renewed push to reverse Biden's changes. Holmes says Congress can help mitigate this back-and-forth cycle by boosting funding for the Endangered Species Act.
We are seeing a shrinking of the amount of wildlife that we have, and because of climate change and the biodiversity crisis, you know, wildlife are really having a hard time.
Other wildlife organizations suggest the Biden administration should have acted much sooner to restore protections. Before publishing the final rules, Federal officials said they received nearly 500,000 public comments. This is Mike Moen for Wisconsin News Connection. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.
And this is Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bowen.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. Rain showers continue tonight, lows around 39 degrees. Southeast winds gusting over 30 miles per hour. Rain likely on your Monday, a high near 56, breezy once again. For Monday night, slight chance of a shower, otherwise clouds and 41. For Tuesday, a few showers, a high of 59.
Right now, 40 degrees.
Your hometown news talk and sports station is locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
From the rolling bluffs of the Driftless region to the pristine shorelines of Superior in Michigan, from the Northwoods to the Kettle Moraine, Civic Media broadcasts across all of Wisconsin.
For all of Wisconsin.
Take a trip with us across the radio network to hear from communities throughout the state. This is the Civic Media Spotlight.
Welcome back to Hour 2 of the Civic Media Spotlight. Kicking off Hour 2, we go to the John and Gordy Show from the Civic Media headquarters in Madison. This week, John and Gordy welcome to the show Jim Healy, one of the programmers of the Wisconsin Film Festival.
Mad Radio, WMDX, the John and Gordy Show, 92.7 FM, 1580 AM, all of your social media dial, tune it in, or the Civic Media app, easy to get, and you can tune in anywhere in the world.
That's right. I talked to somebody the other day who was on vacationing in Spain. They were listening.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's great. On vacation.
Yeah.
On the app.
Unbelievable. And we have a special guest in the studio this morning. It's Jim Healy. He was here prior to this, and we were talking about the Wisconsin Film Festival. And we're going to talk more about it because it begins tonight, one movie at least, tonight, and then it just rolls on for 8 days, 8 days a week.
Right. Mm-hmm.
There you go.
You're all ready. You're all set. You're all primed for all the movies.
Yeah.
So how does it all kick off tonight? What's the...
Kicking off tonight at the Barrymore Theater.
Yep.
We have a sold-out screening of Io Capitano, which is a new film by Matteo Garrone, who's one of the great contemporary Italian filmmakers. I don't know if you know the series Gomorra, but that was based on a movie that he made. This is his latest film. It was just one of the five international features nominated for the Oscar a few months ago. It's a marvelous film.
Is it overdubbed with English?
No, or? It will be it presented. It's mostly in French and Nigerian dialects. It's a film set in Africa and Libya.
Yeah.
It'll be presented with English subtitles.
Okay, subtitles.
All right.
Okay.
Good deal.
And that's at the Barrymore Theater, and you're going to have, of course, opening night reception.
Yes.
Lots of food.
Yes.
Popcorn.
I suppose so, yeah. I guess I think the Barrymore does do popcorn.
Got to have popcorn. Real butter on the popcorn.
Yeah. That's good stuff. Yeah. Okay.
Diets don't matter anymore. We found that out this morning.
Oh, I'm a popcorn
previous
fanatic.
Topic. I am too.
A good fresh popcorn.
Always, yeah.
You know, the best way to make it is the stir crazy made out of West Bend.
No.
Yeah. It's a stir bar. And you put your oil in there and a popcorn and stirs it just like in the movie theaters. Yeah,
John, you just can't help giving food advice.
No, that's right.
So what is wrong with me, right?
Lately, you've just been all over that.
And then I go to Badger Popcorn.
Yeah.
And they have great popcorn there. It's a very,
you get your supplies
it's
there.
It's a great hybrid popcorn, by the way. Big kernels, yes. And I get, and I mix the white and the yellow together because the yellow is very corny.
Wow.
And the white is nice and fluffy and tasty. as well. So they need, you know.
I thought I was a popcorn fanatic.
Is that fanaticism? It could be.
What kind of box you do know. You like the, for your popcorn? Yeah. Do you like the trapezoid box?
I have the little tubs that you can buy at the store, and it says popcorn on the side.
That's the nice. Disposable or the
no, those are permanent, permanent plastic. Okay. Tubs.
Can we talk about the movies again here? What else is going
right.
on?
All right. Well, anyway, so the opening night is tonight at the Barrymore, but we've got then every movie you can possibly think of is going to be out there in the theaters around Madison. And what are some of the theaters that they can see some of these movies?
So we're at the Barrymore tonight and through the end of the festival. So we'll be there until next Thursday.
All right.
And then starting tomorrow
on campus,
campus, we will be at the Chazen Museum of Art, the UW Cinematheque at Vilas Hall, the Music Hall building on Park Street, and also the Marquee Theater at Union South.
Yes.
And then on Monday, we're only at the Barrymore and three screens out at Flicks Brewhouse at the Eastgate.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
How many films will you be showing during the film festival altogether?
Movies of varying length, so shorts and features. Yeah. It's right around 150.
Wow.
We're usually around that number every year.
Yeah.
You know, one movie that stood out for me,
please,
all these fairly artsy documentaries and movies,
right,
is The Tingler.
Oh.
I mean, you know.
I don't know The Tingler. What is that?
The Tingler is one of the more interesting movies ever made.
Okay, well, first of all, this is a film from 1959 that was released by Columbia Pictures. And in the festival this year, we are celebrating.
Are you actually going to do all of the things that they wanted the theaters to do at the time?
We're trying. We're bringing in a specialist to install what is known as Percepto.
Yes, Percepto.
Which was William Castle's gimmick. Castle was the writer, the producer-director of The Tingler. And with every film, starting with The House on Haunted Hill, he had a gimmick. Usually ended with the word O. So House on Haunted Hill had Emerjo, and later on 13 Ghosts had Illusiono. But Percepto is... I think it's meant to suggest that you will be able to perceive with this special process that when the Tingler has entered the theater, and then, of course, in order to save yourselves, you must scream for your lives.
Scream real loud.
Scream very loud, and that will render the Tingler useless.
Now, if you don't know what the Tingler is, it's a spine.
Everybody has a Tingler. It grows on your spine.
But you have to be frightened when you die.
Right.
And that brings life to the spine, the Tingler.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. And Vincent Price plays a coroner in the film who removes a Tingler from the spine. It gets loose.
And it gets loose.
In a theater.
Wow.
It will get loose in our theater. We have two screenings of the Tingler tomorrow night in Percepto. That's part of our Columbia Pictures 100th anniversary celebration.
And that's at the Cinematheque.
At the Cinematheque at Vilas Hall.
Yeah. By the way, I think you're part of that, aren't you?
Sam?
Yeah, I'm going to be running all the projectors over at the Chazen this weekend.
Oh, okay, Chazen. All right. Okay.
We have some 35mm film screening at the Chazen.
Yep.
Sam's one of our 35mm projectionists.
One of the great editors also, you know, in case it breaks or burns.
That's great.
Fingers crossed that doesn't happen. It's not fun, but it does.
It does happen. Oh, no. All right. Well, and I'm going to bring in the trailer for The Tingler as well. You know, William Castle.
You'll hear William
Castle. A little
Castle.
Introduction. It's fantastic stuff.
Okay. So let's highlight at least a few more of these films coming up over the first part of the festival. It goes for 8 days total.
Right.
Oh, we're talking with Jim Healy about the Wisconsin Film Festival here. And by the way, you can call us if you have questions at 608-879-8255. Call us or text with a question if you have about the Wisconsin Film Festival.
We have things from all over the world and throughout film history. So, in fact, on Sunday morning, we're showing two back-to-back Frank Capra silent films from 1928. We're going to have live piano accompaniment. That's also
excellent.
Part of the Columbia retrospective that's in the festival. And
there's something great about silent films. I just love, especially the comedies of like Buster Keaton, you know, Chaplin, all the greats, you know.
One of these films is a straight comedy called So This Is Love. It's really terrific. It ends in a boxing ring, and it's fun. And then the other film is Way of the Strong, which is kind of a gangster melodrama, but it has a sense of humor, too. It's terrific.
Now, there was a movie, a dirt bike movie, made in Wisconsin.
A dirt bike movie?
I did.
What are you talking
about? Yeah, a woman... young woman was into the dirt bike thing just east of us, off of Highway 90, and she passed away due to an accident.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
And I'm just trying to find what that is.
This is something in the festival?
Yes.
Oh, this is probably one of our Wisconsin's own selections.
Yes, absolutely.
I've only seen a few of those. Ben Reiser's our guy who's in charge of programming the Wisconsin's own film. Okay. So that's...
So like Dirty Angels, or I can't remember.
Sorry, I wish I had the title.
I'm trying to find it, and it can't.
Okay.
There's so many movies, at the guide. You know.
Yeah, where can you get a guide, by the way, or online?
This was in the newspaper. Okay. It was in one of the supplements.
It's in Isthmus. Yeah, I don't know if it's been put in one of the other newspapers, too. It was in this month's issue of Isthmus.
Yeah, that's where this comes from.
You can get it there.
You can still get that.
And we have the full schedule online, which is wifilmfest.org. And,
general admission is about $12
for each
and every event. And you can buy an all-festival pass, which is $325.
Get you and everything.
But I want to kind of get into the reason why.
Sure.
This is such a fantastic deal.
Yeah.
An idea that has been around for a long time. That's why this film festival is very successful.
Sure.
And that is to see these movies in the theater for the very first time.
Right. And that's...
for this generation.
That's the idea. Yeah. I mean, this is why the artists who made them. So they're to be seen in a cinema space, right? In a theater where the lights are off, you're with an audience, and everyone's attention is... wrapped, and everyone's cell phones are off, and they're paying attention to one screen all at the same time. This is what movie going is. And so this is an opportunity for people to indulge. And not only that, to see things that, you know, maybe normally would be receiving regular distribution. And some of the films we're showing, you know, will be released on local screens in the weeks and months following the festival, but a lot of things won't. This will be the only opportunity to see, you know, something like Il Capitano, which is Oscar nominated, and several other premieres that we're going to have next week. And this is the chance to see them, you know, as they were intended, with an audience, and to experience the cinema of the world. We have things from almost all the continents, and then things from throughout film history too.
Jimmy, are people going back to the movies? Generally speaking, I'm not talking about the festival now, but just overall, has the film industry recovered from the pandemic? Are people going back to see the big blockbusters and all the other movies that are coming?
Definitely noticed a spike in attendance at the festival last year. That seemed to be kind of like, okay, we're coming back. Mm-hmm. You know, we're here. And then, you know, our trends tend to go with the industry, and that's exactly what was happening with theaters. And then suddenly last summer we had the writer's strike and the actor's strike, which put productions on hold, which screwed up the studio schedules. And we're talking about Hollywood here and the mega productions, and there are less of those being made. And so I think, you know, we've kind of been in a box office slump since like the holiday season.
Right.
I think things are starting to come back now with King Kong and Godzilla.
That's great. Yeah, that's an amazing series.
Yeah.
You know, it just kind of crept up on everybody, and all of a sudden, you know, all these King Kong, Godzilla movies are out there now.
Yeah, well, then
one got an Academy Award.
The Japanese Godzilla Year Zero that came out last year is extraordinary.
Mm-hmm. Angels of Dirt is the movie that is local.
Thank you very much. That was the movie I was trying to think of at the Barrymore Theater,
and that is on Sunday.
Great.
7:18, we're coming right back with Jim Healy from the Wisconsin Film Festival.
The John and Gordy Show is part of the Civic Media Radio Network and airs on WMDX weekday mornings from 6 until 8. To learn more about this show and all of the Civic Media programming, check out the website at civicmedia.us/shows.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, Tome for the Todd Allball Show.
Most of us can agree the decision to have an abortion should be between a person and their doctor. Politicians should have no say at all. Thankfully, Senator Tammy Baldwin is standing up for our rights and working to keep politicians out of our medical decisions. After Roe v. Wade, the court case that protected abortion rights was overturned, Tammy Baldwin introduced the Women's Health Protection Act, which would ensure access to abortion everywhere in the United States, including here in Wisconsin. The bill would end extreme abortion bans that have no exceptions for rape, incest, or the life of the mother, and threaten doctors with criminal charges for providing abortion care. Senator Baldwin also introduced legislation that would protect the right to travel across state lines for reproductive health care and safeguard access to contraception. Call Senator Tammy Baldwin at 202-224-5653. Tell her thank you for fighting back against extreme abortion bans. Paid for by A Better Wisconsin Together, Inc.
Locally grown radio, WFHR.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Next up on the Civic Media Spotlight, we go to WRJN's The Don Rosen Show, where this week Don welcomed in former WRJN morning air personality and program director Jim Sorensen, who remembers his years at the station.
Good morning at 7:08 at WRJN Radio, hometown radio, refreshed, a Civic Media station. I'm Don Rosen. Tom Carco joining me here in studio today because today is WRJN historical marker number 7, lucky 7. Jim Sorensen, former morning air personality here at WRJN Radio before I got here. And I think he came with the bricks in the building. Jim Sorensen is here. Hey, Jim, thanks for joining us this morning. I do appreciate it.
Pleasure being here. I had to get up anyway. I got a colonoscopy scheduled for later.
You don't really.
Figures.
You don't really. Okay, good. That last night would have been the worst night of your life. It's not the colonoscopy. It's the night before the colonoscopy. I know I've had a couple of them. By the way, I did read something the other day. They said they have done colonoscopies where they found living organisms like insects and everything inside during a colonoscopy, and I want my doctor to know if he finds anything in there. I don't want to know about it.
Yeah, I was going to say, I don't need to know that.
Yeah, I don't need that either. So, Jim, before we begin with your WRJN career, where am I calling now? Where do you live now?
South Florida, Southeast Florida. I live in Boca Raton.
Okay. When did you start in radio? What year are we talking? Not here, but in radio.
1965, maybe. Late 4, early 5. WFNY in Racine. I have no idea what's happened to it, you know, since then, of course. But in those days, its tower was right outside the studio building, and it was at the land end of the pier down on the lake. And that tower and its light on top served as an aiming point for people who were trying to bring boats into the harbor. That and the lighthouse, of course.
So when did you come to WRJN?
1971. Late in 1971, I'd gotten married earlier in that year, several months earlier, and my wife decided that it would be a good idea if I actually had a job and that paid something. And WRJN in those days was a union radio station, so we all belonged to AFTRA-SAG, and the engineers were IBEW, and I don't think there was another one but the two. But then it was a... It was run like people at the time would have looked at the movies and said, oh, that's a radio station. They got a guy who runs the console, and they've got a guy who talks on a big-ass microphone and things like that.
Yeah. You did. Now, did you have your engineering? Were you technically an engineer or a capable engineer at that point?
I studied physics in college.
Did you?
And one of the things that you learn quickly when you are a physics student is that if you're not really, 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 really good at it, you're going to starve to death. So you go out and you sit the exam for a couple of state licenses so you can at least have a job of some sort. I did that. I had state licenses, and then I wrote the exam for the federal license, which was more complicated in those days than it is now. I don't think it even exists anymore.
Okay. Because I remember when I came here in 79 that you had that first-class license. We all saw that up there. It's like, oh, this guy's special.
No, it wasn't anything special about it. It was just... what was required to work. The requirement the FCC had at that time was that if you were going to operate the transmitter of a directional AM station, you had to have a first-class license.
Well, for third-classers, that was a big deal, to see a first-class license, okay?
Why? Because it was...
I never posted the state licenses. Those were... actually kind of plain looking.
So you start here, and it's an engineer shop, right? You've got union people here. So how does that work? For people who have no concept of this, listening to this, how does that work? You're an announcer. You come in. You have to work with engineers who have to operate the equipment, right?
Yeah. The engineers, under the contract at the time, in the IBEW contract, which is the International Brotherhood of Electrical Workers, by the way, those guys, we as announcers, performers on the radio, we could do anything, including what they did in terms of operating the console, turning a microphone on and off, that kind of thing. What we could not do, however, was we couldn't push the record button on a tape recorder. That had to be done by an engineer. And so when we come time to record commercials, for example, we would sit in the studio and with a big microphone in front of us, and the engineer would be on the other side of the glass operating the console, and we would use hand signals back and forth to what we're supposed to be doing, and then we would just lay down the voice tracks, and they would put them into the commercials later on.
Quick story: when I was at WSB, it was a union shop, and we had TV, radio, newspaper, we had everything there in that building. And one day I'm coming down the hallway, and there's a Boy Scout troop getting a tour, and the young lady giving the tour is very small, very short, and she couldn't reach the speaker volume in the hallway people could see. So I upped it for her. Within 1 hour, I was called to the program director's office with a union grievance against me because I turned the volume up on the speaker. He said, "Don't ever do that again. You call an engineer, and they will do it." I said, "But she was out in the hallway with the... I don't care what she was out in the hallway. Don't do it again." So I never did.
Rules is rules.
Yeah, some guys are stricter than others. I mean, we used to have things where when you wanted to know what the level was, you pointed at the number on the dial, and the guy would turn the knob for you. Yeah, it's the same idea.
So who were some of those engineers back then, if you remember?
Dave DeZurek was the chief engineer, and his assistant was a guy by the name of Gene Butterfield. And
who passed away, unfortunately, not too long ago.
Yeah, great engineer, great human being too. Love that guy.
Yeah, Dave was one of the best engineers I've ever worked for in terms of broadcasting engineers. He went off and worked for IBM after he left the business.
Yeah, David followed Stan Fisher as chief engineer.
Stan quite well. He was a very nice man.
Had followed Lee Deccant.
There's a story about Stan, of course. Those of you who have, you know what the building looks like because you guys work in it. But the basement, of course, is, for one thing, it's extra deep. It's very deep, and there's a reason for that. The second thing is it's got a full kitchen in it, and you guys know that, too. And Stan Fisher used to cook lunch and breakfast sometimes down in that kitchen and serve it to the staff. He was a character and a half.
I happened to, out of the blue, Lyman Marin's son David called me last night. I hadn't talked to him in decades. He mentioned Stan Fisher cooking down there. Said he used a garbage can, a metal garbage can, a clean one, I'm assuming, and cooked roast beef in that thing.
I've heard that. I never had the opportunity to participate in it, but I heard the story.
So the story...
You know why the basement is so deep, don't you?
Right. I was going to get to that. Why is it so deep, so tall?
Because at one point, first we'll start outside. Go outside and look at the tower. You'll see the tower is what's called in the tower business a composite tower. It is paper-legged on part of it and straight on part of it. The straight part, which is now a truss or a lattice-type truss, at one point in time when I joined the company, it was a slot antenna. It was a 2-foot diameter aluminum tube, basically, with a slot down one side that was that length and stood right where that truss is now, and it was for an FM station. The FM station used to broadcast from that. It got to the point where structurally it was so distressed that it was threatening to fall and land on cars in the parking lot, so they decided to spend the money to have a truss put on there. Since the FM had gone away anyway, it became, I think, WRKR, if I'm not mistaken, in those days.
Jim, we got to take a break here, so can hang on to that, and we'll come back.
Want to hear the story?
Yes,
want to hear everything. Jim Sorensen's here. It is WRJN Historical Marker number 7. Tom Carco joining in the conversation here. Hometown Radio Refreshed, a Civic Media station.
The Don Rosen Show is part of the Civic Media Radio Network and airs on WRJN weekday mornings from 6 until 8. To learn more about this show and all of the Civic Media programming, check out the website at civicmedia.us/shows.
From Wisconsin Rapids to Stevens Point, your news, talk, and sports is 97.5 FM, locally grown radio.
CBS News Brief. It's official. South Carolina remains undefeated.
Perfection with a touch of sweet redemption. Undefeated South Carolina has won its third national championship.
The call from ESPN on ABC. The Gamecocks beat the Iowa Hawkeyes 87-75 for the championship title in the women's NCAA tournament. The men's final between Purdue and UConn is tomorrow night. Israel says it's pulled most of its ground troops out of the Gaza Strip.